Good Gabs, sponsored by SkillSkin, a nonprofit organization empowering individuals with disabilities through employment. Cindy Donahue, Director of Leadership Training and Development at Gonzaga School of Leadership. Cindy, thanks for joining us today.
I'm so happy to be here.
What a great day it is today.
It is a great day because I'm here with you.
I know, my friend Cindy, what up?
I'm so excited to get to have this conversation with you.
Heck yeah. Well, you know, you're everywhere. And I love that about you. You're just connected to the community in so many ways. And, you know, I know our listeners, we just want to know what's going on. What's happening in the world of Cindy Donahue?
Today I'm working at Gonzaga School of Leadership Studies as the Director of Leadership Training and Development. So that's a big part.
We just sent one of our guys through the leadership certificate.
You did?
So, yeah, his name is John Booz. He said it was an excellent program. And, yeah, he said it was awesome.
Which certificate did he do?
Servant leadership.
Yep. So we have a 9-month program, foundational leadership. So these are all non-degree programs, certificate programs. There's an intensive weekend called an authentic leadership program. And then there's specialty things. Healthcare leadership is really popular, right, given our industry here in Spokane. Women's leadership, servant leadership. There's just so many options depending on where people want to grow and what they want to focus on.
Yeah. So what does that mean to you? Like, how are you getting that word out?
Well, you know, that's what I try and do. So the certificates are actually operated by our Certificate for Life, Center for Lifelong Learning. And so, but they're developed through the School of Leadership Studies. So we're one of very few leadership schools in the U.S. and one of the best. And so we have, on the academic side, we have our 2 master's degree programs, so organizational leadership and then communication and leadership, and then the non-degree options. And then pretty soon we're actually going to come out with something in between. There's going to be graduate level certificate programs as well through the communication and leadership.
Well, that sounds interesting. So who are the people that should be looking at these programs to, you know, either polish their resume or learn more?
I'm like you, right? In my opinion, everyone is a leader, right? We can sit around and define what is leadership. But it's a process where you are able to influence people to achieve a common goal. So everyone can be a leader, which means you have to understand yourself, your skills, and then decide how you want to apply those either in your organization, in your community, in your industry. So it's really just a matter of deciding where you want to go and how you want to grow yourself and understand yourself and then how to apply that with your team.
Okay. So, well, let's just take organizations like SkillSkin, right? We have a number of different business lines. We have, you know, a lot of supervisors, managers, site managers. So just a lot of different people. Like, how would our business engage with, you know, the School of Leadership?
Yeah. So as we were talking about before we started, is that my role is really not on the academic side and it's not really on the certificate side, although I talk about those because there are opportunities for everyone to grow themselves. But my role as the Director of Leadership Training and Development is to operate our consultants firm. And most people say, what?
Yeah.
Gonzaga has a leadership consultant company? Yes, we do. And most people don't know that. So as I told you, I'm going to try to unsecret it. That
Love
is my
that.
Job. So what we
well,
do...
bring us in. Unsecret us.
And so it depends on the organization. Some companies or organizations, they already have internal organizational development teams.
But not a lot of people, right?
And not
that's
a lot.
It's an expensive department.
It is. And that's kind of where we come in. So it might be, well, we have these emerging leaders. We want to help them further their skills. So we'll put them in a certificate program like you did for the person that went through servant leadership. And then for others, they'll say, well, we're really siloed because you talked about all your different departments.
Sure.
And so it's how do we improve communication across different departments? How do we work effectively as a team? So really we offer through leadership training and development, we have assessments so you can learn your own skills like Clifton Strengths, where you thrive, right? What are your skills as a leader? And then assessments like emotional intelligence, leadership 360 review. So you have everyone around you kind of identifying, you know, from up
down.
Have you
ever done that yourself?
That one I haven't done.
I highly recommend it. That was a humbling experience when I did that. And it was like, oh, okay. People see me.
Yes, that is a question. I just recently did emotional intelligence. So I did the WEI emotional intelligence, and that was a real learning experience. It's a little bit like therapy. And you know, like, what are your natural reactions to stress? And where can you find more joy? At least for me, that was what I understood, is like finding more joy and understanding how you relate to other people so you can improve that.
So the bag of tricks is deep with the consulting firm. So like any organization like can help in any way. I'm thinking about just us right now. We're going through a merger with an organization called Skookum, and we're building a new team. We have a new region that's being set up, and we're kind of in that, you know, forming phase. And it would be excellent to be able to reach out and to, you know, get some help if we needed it.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm hearing. That's what y'all do.
Yeah. So we have a lot of things. So we have the assessments, and then we have coaching. So if you have executive coaching or team coaching or supervisors need coaching, maybe they went from a position of being, you know, in a team and then suddenly they're in managerial and they don't know how, they don't have the skill set, right, to influence or to lead. So then we have coaching, and then we have consulting, so organizational development. So if you wanted to say, how are we organized with this new merger? You know, are we organized in a way that's going to be effective where everyone thrives or we achieve our goals? And then we have a lot of what I get mostly is requests for one-offs. So it'll be, we want to do a series of webinars because our culture, everyone's spread out. How do we maintain culture and goal when everyone is in different places? So we'll do a team building interactive webinar.
And or, you can just build those kind of custom situations for any organization.
Yeah, and it depends. Like we have companies, right now I'm getting a lot of requests for multi-generational communication workshops because you've got Gen Z working with boomers.
Yep.
And then how does that work? I'm even getting requests for neurodiversity. How do we work with neurodiverse individuals? And how?
I love hearing that.
Yeah. And really.
So just, people are caring about that, not just SkillSkin right now?
People do care. Yes. Yeah. So it's,
means, you know, we're doing good.
It's communication, it's team building, creating trust. A lot of requests right now for psychological safety to create trust on teams. And so I get requests for different things. And then I basically work as an agency. So we have faculty members and experts and consultants internally in the School of Leadership Studies at Gonzaga. But then I have a roster of specialists and experts and things all over the world, really. So if somebody has something really specific or they say, we want to do psychological safety, I'll kind of look through who are my consultants that do that and who's available. And so I'm really just, I've been saying I'm a business matchmaker now.
Yeah, I see it. That's incredible.
But we all.
How long has this been going on?
It's been going on for 15 years at Gonzaga School of Leadership Studies, but it's been really organic and based on relationship. Uh-huh. And so I'm trying to unsecret it. So SkillSkin or whoever says, wow, that's something that we need. We just met with a nonprofit yesterday and they want some board retreat facilitation. And they have a couple emerging leaders that they want to go through a certificate program. So it really is just how do you look at your organization? Is everyone thriving? Is there trust? When we come up against challenges, are we ready for those? Can we go past those? Are all voices being heard? I mean, diversity and inclusivity is a huge part of what we do as well. Yeah. Because if you don't have all of those voices, then you're not getting all the access to all the potential solutions on your team.
You are made for this.
Well, it's.
I remember first meeting you. I walked into a room. It was at the Spokane Club. And I'd gotten invited to some sort of like, I don't know what it was. It was some leadership lunch. And you had just kind of, you'd come in, you're like talking about the Spokane Club. I was like, who is this person? I was like, you were like a natural salesperson and that matchmaker of people. You're like, hey, who can help? And you were just like, oh yeah. And then we got to be in Leadership Spokane together. I got to see more of that from you. It's like you're really, really talented.
Oh, you're very kind. I think it's a process of growth, right? It's a process of learning. I didn't even know leadership was a thing. I've had this long, winding, crazy road of career, mostly in marketing. And sales actually isn't my thing. I don't get that thrill of the close. It makes me uncomfortable. I'm like a lot of women. I'm not great at negotiating. But I do love connecting people. So when I read Simon Sinek's Start With Why, that really did it for me. And I thought, what is my personal why? Not, you know, related to the organization I was in. And so once I decided my personal, what's yours, by the way? Before I share mine, I want to know yours.
My personal why is relationships. Like, that is why I get up in the morning, is to, you know, have deep, connected relationships to, you know, I think that's the way to better the world.
Yep, like agreed.
So that's me.
Mine is to connect people with themselves and others for the betterment of my community. And so how do you do that? You connect people. Nothing thrills me more than when I am in a room and two amazing people hadn't met yet. I'm like, my mind is blown. I get to introduce two incredible people, and you never know what will come of that.
That's true. All right. I'm letting the cat out of the bag, everybody. So this is, you want to know Steve McBride? This is it right here. So if I want to be really honest and true, my why is to be like a mirror to reflect someone's best self back to them. And that's really why I'm here. And I rarely say that out loud. So damn it, Cindy, just pulling it out.
Now I'm all teary. No, that's the best why, right? To be the mirror to help people grow and be who they are.
Like whatever they want to be.
But I would say your skill, though, is you really see people for who they are. I think a lot of people make assumptions or have expectations of others. And I think in order to be a really good mirror, you have to really be open to seeing people as they are and seeing their gifts and what they can contribute. And I think a lot of people don't have the confidence to help others rise that way.
Well, thanks for seeing me. And I do. I love people. That's what keeps me going.
Me too. Yeah. I agree. I do love people.
So how did you get to Spokane?
So I had been working in California. Don't tell anyone. I came from California. Right. But it was 17 years ago and I was seven.
Oh, this is home now.
I was 7 months pregnant. I knew no one. And my choices were to live in San Francisco and never see my unborn child because I had a full-time serious job. And or moved to Spokane, as I knew it then, where it snowed. And so I made that choice basically to be a mom. And so I was a stay-at-home mom for a few years. And then due to life circumstances, divorce and whatever, I had to go back into working. And so I decided to go to Spokane Club. That was how I ended up there because I could have a part-time job and they have great childcare.
Perfect. Yeah. Like, all right, this matches.
It matched out perfectly. And then through that opportunity, there's so many people in that place that are so kind and so generous of heart. And that's really how I see the Spokane community. People here are just so generous of spirit. Right. So that's accepting. True. And so that was kind of how it started. And then I really didn't get out into the community until I became the membership director there. And I started saying, well, you know, people don't just knock on the door. You actually like have to go out there. And I thought that was important. And so I started going to different mixers and meeting, you know, people from Greater Spokane Inc. and Downtown Spokane Partnership and all these organizations. I'm like, wow, people are doing amazing things here.
So you started getting excited about the
community.
Yes,
and I started meeting people like you, right, and forming connections. And then an opportunity opened up to work with Tom Simpson at Ignite Northwest. And I called him, I emailed him, and I walked over there and put my resume on his desk.
You're like, I want to be here.
I stalked him. Yes, so I was so excited about that opportunity because it was economic development. It was creating
community.
Pure
economic development.
Correct. Yeah. And it was about creating community and bringing people together and, you know, for the betterment of our community and all the innovation that was happening. And he just has so much energy. And it was just such a pleasure to work with him for almost 4 years. And then I made that weird departure.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, any insight onto the Spokane community? Like, are we embracing that startup culture? Or are we, you know, funding it? Like,
yes, we're definitely funding it. There's quite a bit of funding for entrepreneurs here. And I think that with the influx of people that came during COVID from Seattle and Portland and Chicago and everywhere else, I think it was hard for some people that have been here forever to have this influx of people. But I think at this point, we've integrated people really well. And I think we appreciate the talents and the jobs and all of the things that come along with that, where we are.
I appreciate the good restaurants that came with that.
Right. Me too. But that expansion of opportunity came with all of those people. And so the technology sector here is amazing. I mean, there's Launchpad in the Northwest. I helped them with their Executive Connection Leadership Series, Bill Cleave. And I still get to work with Tom a little bit. And so growing jobs, right? That it's an awesome opportunity to grow jobs through technology. And also obviously having two medical schools here is amazing.
I know there was used to be one in the state and now there's two in right here in Spokane. It's so great.
We
I
have
love this
more
town.
Medical students now than Seattle.
That seems so strange and awesome.
Agreed. Yeah.
I was reading the paper today, like a young man at Gonzaga who was developing some sort of like fidget tool putting together. And I was like, what? All right. So just reading that stuff, it makes me excited about what's possible in Spokane. Even something as simple as that. Like it's like, no, we can do better than, you know, the cheap stuff, you know, that we import that for this. He's like, no, we're going to really help people in a different way.
Yeah. I mean, look at Revival Tea Company, one of the fastest growing tea companies, right? And it's made here in Spokane. There's even partnerships that are created. Fairchild Air Force Base just made a partnership with Gonzaga School of Engineering, and they're going to work together on STEM projects. And so
really?
You know, how can we improve fuel acceleration? How can we, you know, I mean, who knows what will come of a partnership like that? So it's pretty cool what's possible when people come together in the community and we have, you know, experts in so many different fields that we can solve problems here at home and export them.
Well, and you're definitely part of that. It's like, you know, you stood up Amplify Women and, you know, talk a little bit about that. I mean, I just got to see my first, panel and got to experience what that was like. And it was just, the energy was great. And some of the issues that were brought up too, just got me thinking in all sorts of different ways. And like, you know, where men can connect and where we can help, and you know, what's holding, I was just thinking about my own self, like what's holding my own self back in part of this. So it was really cool. So yeah, let our listeners know if they don't know about this, help us understand.
So Amplifying Women's Voices came about because of my own experiences as a woman in leadership and in the community. And, you know, there's still not parity, right? We still have a lot of issues. And I think that now they're more subtle and less overt, which makes them more difficult to overcome. So it started partly because a friend of mine was running for judge, and I wanted to be like, I didn't want to be like, hey, Steve, come to my house with your checkbook, because I just, not my come thing. And so I thought, well, if I have her on a leadership panel, people will see her.
Smart.
And so that was part of how it started. And actually, it started before that when I was at Ignite. I got to host the panel, the Spice Girls, with the women of Spiceology, the female leaders of Spiceology. And I just love that interaction. And Darby McLean had said during that conversation, she said something about work-life balance. And I thought, I want to dive into that more. And this was kind of toward the tail end of COVID. And so I just like, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to, you know.
Yeah, you're not waiting around. You're just going
to do it. Right. Yeah, I tend to do that. And so.
Thank you.
So I started this panel, and, you know, 50 or 60 people came to that first one. And it was such an intimate environment where people felt comfortable, laugh and cry and share about their experiences and what's possible for women. And then I had another organization come and say, hey, we want to sponsor what you're doing with women in leadership. And I was like, okay. And so now 3.5 years later, we still are doing 3 a year. So we have 5 different people on the panel. And I try to really focus on diversity in all different ways, right? Diversity of age, of, you know, anything you can think of, industry. I want to make sure we have people, members of the LGBTQ+ community and the BIPOC community. And so I'm just trying to make sure that we're having a lot of different voices. But the idea is to have men in the room, because we can talk to our blue in the face about women's leadership. But if we don't have men mentoring and sponsoring women, then it's not going to go anywhere. So makes hopefully sense. People like having you there and having more men come, I think is super important. But it's just a really safe environment where we have different topics. We've done mentorship and sponsorship, overcoming imposter syndrome, leadership styles, and it's always different leaders, and it's always a different topic. So they all have their own vibe and their own personality. It is really cool. Oh. So the next one we're doing is May 14th on negotiating with confidence.
Nice.
Which is a topic anyone should go to, right? Tips and tricks for negotiating from a position where you feel confident and you know that you are worth what you're worth.
A few years ago, I guess it was that idea of, you know, the disparity between, you know, wages between men and women, like many people are familiar. If you're not, you must be under a rock. I guess it's a thing. And I just started to pay attention to that in my own world. And as I started to, like, support and lead more people, and more women were in, you know, leadership positions in our organization, when it came to like salary negotiations, I was like, what is going on here? And I didn't realize that people didn't, like, and specifically women just had not been taught how to negotiate their salary. And so some people would come in, you know, all hot, and like that was how it was. And there was, you know, professional versions, a lot of unprofessional, but I'm like, you know, I can do something here. I'm like, I'm in a nonprofit. It's not like we have a lot of money to deal with here anyway. So it's like our negotiation window is pretty small. So I just like, I'm gonna throw this whole thing out of the window. I'm not trying to like come over on anyone. So I'm like, I'm gonna teach people how to negotiate. And I just said it out loud. I was like, are you interested in learning how to negotiate? And I just started there. It was really awkward the first time.
Well, see, I would put you on the panel, but you're not a woman.
No doubt.
But you should come and have, you know, ask questions that lead the conversation, because, you know, women tend to be more democratic. They tend to be more collaborative. A lot of times they don't know their value for various reasons. And so it's just really learning how to find your voice and really not, you know, not fighting for your what you're worth, but not also letting it go, you know, finding that balance.
Well, I'm trying to be part of that solution. So we've done this now with probably about 4 different people, and from, I would say, pretty damn successful. It was good. And it just was like, hey, this is how a negotiation can go.
Well, you should
and
teach me.
Yeah, deal. Yeah.
I definitely have skills to work on. And that's what's so cool about working at Gonzaga School of Leadership Studies is I'm finding out all these areas for development for myself too, right? So I've been trying to work on listening the last few years. That's something, because I tend to be a talker.
Well, you can teach me.
So, you know, just trying to find skills and areas for growth because then you can understand other people better and be a better mirror and also be able to help your organization grow. So it's just, it's such a cool thing, but I would like to take your class. Yeah. And then the last one we're going to do this year is going to be completely different. I might even run it differently instead of having a panel. I haven't decided, but it's going to be all about committees and boards.
Cool.
Why should you volunteer? Don't do it for your resume. What's a working board versus an advisory board? What organizations are there that you can work with? Because there are so many that I talk to all the time that are looking for qualified board members, and a lot of them are looking for more diversity in their board. And so hopefully that'll be a different kind of conversation. So,
what's driving this inside of you?
I just love people. I love growing people, right? I want people to be happy. I want people to be connected and to thrive, because it's so great when you meet people, especially younger people that have, they have so much potential, and you think, what could is possible for finding solutions to things we haven't even thought of yet. And so I think when you introduce two people to each other, or you find someone who has just that vision or the foresight or the compassion and the empathy for other people, and then to help them achieve whatever they haven't even thought of yet, right? I mean, I think the last one we did at Amplifying was overcoming limiting beliefs. And we tend to think, well, this is what's possible for me based on our background, our parents, our upbringing, our education. But I think it was not until much later in life for me that I thought, well, why are there these boundaries on what's possible for me? You know, why did I follow this very kind of mostly linear sort of career track, and why can't I just do things I feel like doing, creative things? You know, why can't I? So it's a good and bad thing. That was kind of how my weird departure came about, because I was like, well, why can't I do that?
Well, and when you start asking questions, be ready for answers, and it's good. And then you get to, you know, design your life the way that you want it.
Yeah.
And that's good. There was one woman on that panel. She was the colonel, Air National Guard.
Yes, yeah, Colonel Angela O'Connell. She's one of 400 full-bird colonels in the Air Force in the country.
That's amazing.
And she's here.
Powerhouse. I was blown away. She's like, yeah, I've been sitting in a room, I'm just kind of being silent when I knew what the answer was. And then she's like, yeah, then it just started putting it out there. And obviously they saw that leadership in her, and now she's running the show.
She is running a show over there. I think a lot of times people seem to think of leaders as people that are extroverted. They tend to think of people, leaders of people of power, right? Positions of power. But really, introverts make amazing leaders, because they really sit and listen and consider, and then they speak. And so I think having someone like Colonel O'Connell, you look at what's possible within someone that you don't even know is there. You know, that hopefully they feel, that's why I think building trust and creating an environment where people feel able to voice their thoughts, their opinions, their ideas, that's what makes all the difference. It's getting those voices heard.
I agree with that. It's, I don't know, it gets the personal pet peeve that, you know, when people equate authority with leadership, it's like, no, that is not a thing. Leadership is not a title. It's not, you know, a button you get to put on. It is a practice. Mm-hmm. And it is a skill that has to continue to be honed and grown.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, I mean, that's how I define leadership, right? It's a process of influencing individuals to achieve a goal. And that can be anyone in an organization. It doesn't have to be a position of power.
It often is, right?
It often is. Yeah, it often is. And I think a lot of times people might rise up the ranks in an organization, but they might not have the leadership skills and the ability to create environments of trust. And so that's why what I'm doing now is so cool, is because we can come in, you know, there was one organization, a big one here in town, manufacturing, and they have a lot of frontline supervisors that haven't gained the leadership skills that they need to run effective teams. And a big one that comes up is change management.
Right.
And so how do you educate frontline supervisors on diversity, change management, creating trust, effective communication? There's just so many skills that can help a leader in a positional leader, be able to encourage, not only to be an actual practice leadership, but to encourage other people on their team to practice leadership, right? That practice versus position.
I just love that. And that's what you get to do now for the day job, is just connect folks like that and say, hey, we can offer this.
Yes, but what's really weird about me, I tend to do things backwards. So like when I met my husband, we bought a house and then we got married, right? So I do things backwards. And so I have been running Amplifying Women's Voices for a few years, and that was just my own project that I wanted to do. But I don't yet have a certificate in women's leadership, but yet I will this fall.
Nice.
So now so I'm going to go back and get my degree, my certificate in women's leadership this fall at Gonzaga. And then I'm actually going to start my master's degree, hopefully in next January.
Good for you.
So I'm going to try to build some sort of foundational knowledge underneath all this experience and opinions and thoughts and connections, and try to just further my own understanding so I can help other people grow.
Watch out, Spokane. Cindy Donahue's on the loose.
Going back to school for the first time since 1995.
Oh, show me the way. It honestly terrifies me. Like I know I could benefit from, you know, well said, those foundational principles that I've, you know, learned on the fly. And I've been okay at that.
Well, you and I are similar that way, right? We're able to learn enough to be helpful, but I think having more of a foundational knowledge is nice. And for me, a leadership degree is great because I don't have to do the math of an MBA, which for me, it scares me. It's another skill that I would like to acquire is understanding finance better. So I'm sure there'll be an amplifying panel about that.
You know, my best tips and tricks for that is get on boards and then start to slide into that finance world, because it's like there's a real low pressure to learn. And over time, you learn a lot.
Yeah, that was
really helpful for me.
Yeah, that was helpful. Yeah. I joined the Downtown Spokane Partnership bid board, and that was, for me, kind of how I got going.
Business Improvement District?
Yes. So
right
I
on.
And then I had to leave because I'm no longer downtown. So I know, super lame. And so I think that, you know, I'm looking for new opportunities because I was an honorary commander at Fairchild, and then that time has passed, sadly, but I try to stay connected to the base, and I think it's super important. But looking for new opportunities.
Yeah, just saw on socials, like, you were raising money, and you just said it off camera, too. Cookies. Like, you nailed it. Like, you're shipping stuff halfway across the world.
Yeah, we had done that before when the 92nd Air Refueling Squadron was deployed. We'd raised enough money for 13 cases of cookie and sent them over. So I wanted to do that this time because I knew they were deployed. And amazingly, we raised enough money, I think like $650, to buy 11 cases of cookies, Girl Scout cookies. And then the Girl Scouts of Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho doubled our order. They donated another 11. And so Renee Smock and...
What's up, Renee?
I know, right? It's amazing the connections that you make, and that people are so generous. Like I was saying, people are generous here. And so just trying to make sure that we're supporting our airmen and their families. And I think it's just, you know, finding projects like that are meaningful.
Okay. I think our listeners might benefit from hearing why it's meaningful. Because, you know, you've been an honorary commander. You've met the families. You kind of know what service is looking like. What do those cookies mean when they show up, you know, wherever they are?
Yeah, I mean, imagine, you know, the first time that the unit was deployed, I went on a sad day that everyone left. And it used to be that they would go for
our
4 months.
Kids crying and stuff?
It was just a sad day. And then they used to go for 4 months. Now it's 6 months. So imagine being away for 6 months. From your home, from your family, from, you know, what you know, and the danger that you're in, the, you know, the sacrifices that you're making in an environment that is unstable, right? That you don't know what's going to happen. And so the day that they came home last time I was there, and that was when the waterworks started, because I saw people meeting their babies for the first time, their dogs they hadn't seen in 6 months. And so that was what really got me. So when I knew that they were deployed this time, I think it's a piece of home, right? It's sending a piece of home. It's sending a little bit of pleasure in knowing that our community is thinking of people as they're deployed. So I think it means something to them, hopefully, to know that we're thinking of them.
Love that so much. Well, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Cindy, you're everywhere.
I try not to be everywhere, but
it's just natural. It comes to you. Like, so I'm just curious, any insight on Spokane or some generalities that you've seen, like any dreams of Spokane that you're envisioning right now that our listeners might be interested in?
I think, you know, we have the Thrive program, so economic development. So there is the strategy team and the committee that worked on our 10-year SEDS, the Community Economic Development Strategy. And I think now that we have kind of this working document, more people that can get involved in different aspects of that so that we can work on childcare, we can work on retaining our college students. I mean, we have all these universities and students, we want to keep them here, recruiting more companies to come here so that we can continue to grow. But then we also have the other side where we have to take care of the people that are here. So you and I were talking off camera about, you know, more mental health and yep. drug treatment centers, you know, more housing. What about our water use? How do we maintain our water as we grow as a community? There's just so many aspects of a community that all has to grow together. Because if one side of a bubble grows too much, it'll pop. And so how do we expand in a smart way? And the other thing I would like to solve, which has nothing to do with me at this point, is the potholes. It really drives me crazy. I feel like potholes and sidewalks are my other big thing. But
like, yeah, science. We got to figure it out.
Right. So are there ways, I mean, you talked earlier about innovation. Are there ways that we can fill our potholes that are more sustainable and they stay longer? You know, how can we apply some of that innovation to some of the issues we have here at home? That would be pretty cool.
We just had someone on who wants to recycle glass and turn it into a product. Like, wonder if we can put it in potholes.
Interesting. Huh. See, you don't know until you try. I came from a place where we recycled everything. I have to say our recycling here is subpar. So
that's true.
But I do love the waste energy plant. I think it's pretty cool that we're creating energy from that.
Did you
ever
get to go on a tour and see the ovens and stuff?
I did when my kiddo was in the Girl Scouts. That's I got awesome. To go.
That was an impactful tour when I was a kid. I was mm-hmm. like seeing that. I'm like, yeah, this is something cool.
A lot of the tours we did through Leadership Spokane made a big
Wasn't
impact
that awesome?
On me. Yeah, for me, touring the jail, that was something that really impacted me. I thought about that. I still continue to think about that a lot. Just on both all aspects of that, but touring the jail made a huge impact on me. Touring the waste to energy plant. Which ones did you do?
I went to the paper mill. I went to the not the jail tour, but downstairs with where they're doing fingerprinting yep. and some of the that was like, what you have to like. How do you separate yourself when you're going to a crime scene taking all those pictures? It's like oh yeah.
I didn't do that.
You know what was the most impactful for me? Oddly enough, was when we went to the food distributor out on the West Plains. The name of it is, it escapes me right now. URM owns them. Oh. What are they called? Peroni Produce. And that was incredible. Just like hearing about the life of a banana. And just how interesting that was. And, you know, if the trucks stop, the food stops. And there was about 6 days of food in Spokane at any given time.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa.
And we have some food deserts here, right? We have places where people can't get fresh produce and fresh food. There's some serious, I mean, so this is all economic development. How do you take care of people? How do you improve the community? And from everything from food scarcity, water, traffic, jobs. I mean, there's so much to do. And sometimes it's overwhelming. Like, how do you choose one? to focus
something
on.
That yeah something that interests you right
yes
and just yeah keep asking questions, keep connecting the dots. I love it. Cindy, how does an organization, maybe, you know, they're listening right now, they're like, oh, I want to connect to Gonzaga, maybe I want to use some of this consulting you know horsepower that's here in Spokane, how do they connect to you?
LinkedIn, always good. Or you can always find me at Gonzaga School of Leadership Studies. But yeah, we offer all those assessments and certificates and degree programs and consulting. And so if there's a need, right? So if there's an issue in someone's organization, like, wow, this is really preventing us from thriving, from accomplishing our goals, or it's preventing our people from feeling part of our organization and strong culture, that's where we can come in and help.
Love it. If you're not following Cindy Donahue, you should. Cindy, thanks for joining us today. What a great conversation.
I always love talking to you. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks.